This is how we play. This is what we do.
The Pete Carroll Show. The first word from the Seahawks head coach every Monday at 9:30 with Danny and Gallant.
Let's capture exactly how this happened and just keep on recreating it one week at a time.
Presented by Banner Bank and by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company on 710 ESPN Seattle.
We do have the coach here with us, and Pete, I think the first word is congratulations. 10 wins and a playoff berth. That's something to feel proud about.
Yeah, it was a good day's work, and on the ride home, we got to watch the Jets get their first win, which was fun too. So it was a good day. Made a lot of fun with it.
Defensively, yet again, you guys are able to make the biggest play when it's necessary. You get a sack, you get another sack, and almost a sack with Benson Mayoa before that throw that Haskins throws up in the air. What is it about this defense that they find themselves in these spots and are always able to deliver?
Well, I think there's a real good chemistry amongst the group, you know, and with the coaches and the players and all, and they can rally, you know. And this was a great game. We played great, you know, throughout the day on defense, and so we hadn't pressured because of all of their quick game and the stuff. They were so quick with the football that we just wanted to keep dropping off and making our tackles. We made a ton of plays, you know. And if you think about all the short passes they threw that we hit guys when they caught it, that was the plan. And so when it came time, now it's down to the real nut cutting part of it. You know, we had to go and the guys had it in the tank to crank it up and get after the QB just as we needed to. So we've done it a few times this year. It's fun to see that happen again.
Coach, you saw Rashad Penny get a couple of touches. How important was it for you guys to kind of get them acclimated and let them feel the pads pop a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, you know, any player that plays for the first time, it's, you know, it's a big deal just getting back out there. He hasn't played in months and months and months. It's been 10 months or something, 11 months in rehab. And so this was his first real shot, even in practice during the last couple of weeks. We weren't able to get him in live tackles or anything. So just to break him in was really all we hoped to do and get him prepared to help us down, to finish the schedule. So we got that done. It was good. He did fine. He felt good, you know, had a chance to get hit and knocked around a little bit and came up smiling and was happy to be back. So we accomplished it. I was thinking 4 or 5 carries would have been just right. You know, he just had a couple, but we had a couple more other shots. We didn't get it done, but because we had to throw the ball. But he did well. It's a good turnaround for him.
I want to ask you about Jamal Adams, but first I want to let you hear the play where he showed his speed. It just jumped off the screen, and I want you to listen specifically for Dave Wyman's chuckle because the linebacker appreciated the hit he put on the quarterback here.
Third down and 11, a four-man rush. Haskins stands strong. Now he's got to scramble to the left side, being chased by Dunlap. And now he gets hammered down as Adams catches up to him on the far sidelines. He's going to get credit for a sack. That makes 9.5 on the season for Jamal Adams as he chases Haskins down. And that wasn't even a contest running to the far side.
There are some things I can't pick up, some of the nuances of the game, but that one I think I was capable of detecting. He was flying on that play.
Yeah. I think we should call those sacks Jamals. those ones when the quarterback's out of the pocket and he's running and he just blasts over there and gets the guy before he gets to the sticks. The last two sacks have been exactly the same, you know, and so I'm calling those Jamals from that one.
He's had a couple of plays this year where, yeah, you don't even see him on the screen, and then all of a sudden, there he is, bringing somebody down. That closing speed is something else.
Yeah, he has that, and that burst shows up so often in sometimes real short areas, but when you get to see him fly across the field, it's really cool.
Coach, DJ Reed, I haven't watched the All-22 yet, so I'm not completely sure, but it looked like he was dropping into his deep third on his interception, saw the post or the crossing route. Came off his responsibility, made a play on the football. I mean, how great are this guy's instincts?
Yeah, that was a really good play. I'm glad you saw that for what it was. That's an opportunity as his receiver crosses. It's a play pass. He pushes his receiver, you know, to the safety and across the field and picks up through his vision. The guy coming from the other side and positions himself really well. We have not done that well consistently and over the years, and it depends on this the awareness of the guys. Can they see it coming? He showed that weeks ago when he first got out there that he understood what's happening there in that zone principle, and so when they gave him a shot at it, he stole it, and he has tremendous instincts, and he continues to show us all of the things he can do. He had a really, really good game yesterday, and really fired up about him.
DJ Reed, is that a matter of his confidence and getting a little bit more playing time? What do you think? What do you think prompted his that sort of game that he had yesterday?
No, just opportunities. No, these plays are in him. The instincts are there, and it's just a matter of just being on the field. We get the shots, and he'll make the choices, and he makes really good decisions, and he's really aggressive too. He really snaps at the football, and whether he's going for the tackle or he's going for the play on the ball, he had a really nice play on early in the game. We were in a two deep zone, and Haskins scrambled a little bit and got out, and I think it was JD turns up the sidelines, and he has to make a play on a scramble fade route. That's a cloud corner making that play, Mike. You know what I'm talking about there. And he knocks the ball away, too. That's a beautiful job by him. That's a heck of a play. He saved us a little bit right there. But, again, it just goes back to his awareness and instincts. He's going to continue to show up. He's going to continue to make things happen in a real positive way for us.
I loved everything that he had to say after the game, where he said, "I played ticked off because I wanted to." It was a great, I thought, thing to say. Does he have the biggest chip on his shoulder on this team? Because he was talking about that after the game as well, the chip that he plays with.
Well, you know, I don't know that, but he does have it. And he is one of the guys, reminds me of Doug Baldwin, and that just played with this marvelous attitude that drives him into, you know, crazy stuff and craziness. And he's got it. So I'm kind of happy to know that he knows it, because then he can fuel it and use it and feed off of it.
You said yesterday in your post-game press conference, Dunbar is getting healthier, Trey Flowers is getting healthier, but you also mentioned going with the hot hand. Has DJ Reed, I guess, locked down the second corner, or do you not look at it that way?
Well, coming off this game, this is as good a game as a corner's played in a while for us, and he deserves to keep playing. That's all, and so we hope to get Trey back out. I think he's coming to practice, so a really good chance, and he's a good ball player for us too, and so that just makes us stronger. So, and we'll see about how Quentin does. Quentin had 2 weeks of practice. This is the best he's been, so we'll see how this week turns out for him too.
Coach, you went up against a really good defensive line. Offensively, that right tackle spot, oh boy, he had to fill in. Chase Young, Montez Sweat didn't get after the quarterback. How impressed were you with your offensive line play?
Guys, I was really, really fired up about what we did up front. This was a game plan that was designed to neutralize their strength, and they did it. They totally did it. We ran the ball well. We kept them from hitting the quarterback. You know, Russ got hit, banged three times, no sacks, against a really formidable group that was on fire coming in. And Cedric Abouye, he did a great job yesterday. He played so well. Now, I was so fired up for him. He was confident and poised, consistent. Of course, Dwayne did really well on the other side too. But for Cedric to step up in this setting, you know, in this game and this matchup and all that, that was really important for us. And he really is going to help us. You know, whether we can get Brandon back or not, I'm not sure. We're going to try to get him back this week. But that was a big step forward for Cedric.
You see the running yards that you put up. The way that Chris Carson and Carlos Hyde, Russell had a big scramble in there. I know how much you value the running game.
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the things we should mention about Russ, his numbers weren't up in the throwing game, but his effect on the game was huge. And those carries, the couple times he snuck out of there and got the space, just helps us, you know, kind of neutralize the rush. Those are hugely important. Big field shift with the big run he had. That's just Russ doing the things that he can do, you know. And sometimes he beats you with his legs, and he did yesterday.
You mentioned after the game you weren't concerned with the offensive performance. You're up 20-3 after the Carlos Hyde touchdown run, and then a three and out, and the drive with the Russell interception. And you've mentioned, and we've talked about this all season long, that there have been issues on third downs. What happened on the third downs on those drives?
We didn't make the first down. You know, it's really simple as that. The game was really ready to be totally taken over, because after that touchdown run, the defense came right back and slapped a three and out, I think, and got another one, and just gave. That was the opportunity to close the game out, and unfortunately, we couldn't convert and take the ball down the field. And, okay, that's a couple of drives, and then the next drive we're rolling, you know, and you see DK is really flashing in that series, and Shoddy and Russ were. you know, they were working it, and DK just happened to be the centerpiece of that drive. And then we get the fluky play that gets tipped, you know. And so, you know, we might have never thought about this whole discussion right now if that drive, you know, even goes to a field goal at that time. But it wound up being a game of just – it just kind of – we just didn't get anything accomplished on offense after the touchdown. And so one more touchdown, the game's out of reach, and one more score, the game is out of reach even. So it's just that's just unfortunate, and it's really just that throw and catch on that down, you know, and that route run and that, you know, that opportunity. We didn't get the third down conversions that we needed, and now it looms large, and you all want to know, oh God, what happened, you know, and all that. But this was a really well executed game for us, in that we did all the things we needed to do. We just needed to finish it with another drive on offense, and it would have been a near perfect game for us.
Coach Diggs breaks on a full ball, tips it up in the air. Shaq's able to grab it for an interception. Do sequences like that kind of show the cohesiveness of this defense, how guys are really starting to come together and be where they're supposed to be?
Well, I don't know that one in particular does, Mike, because last week we should have had three picks, you know, and the ball was right in our hands. And so that, but this is the place that happened, you know, when you have good football players, and that was a game plan coverage that we were in, something that we had put in just for that game, and we had two picks in that coverage in particular. Guys were back to playing it right and executed really well, you know, so there's sometimes it just happens. But I do think we're flying. You know, we in that game yesterday, we had two missed tackles. That was the first time we've had that low a count for a game. So that means everybody was really playing hard and tough and consistent and technique-wise, you know, efficiently. One of the things that we try to get done here in the end of the year is to continue to stress fundamentals and the basics, because so often teams, as the practices kind of wind down and the season winds down, you can lose your edge fundamentally. And we try to go to the other end of the spectrum so that doesn't happen to us. And yesterday was an indication of our fundamentals were intact, and we did a really nice job of tackling, nice job of pursuing, nice job of really on the offensive side. We only had four penalties yesterday. You know, there's a lot of good stuff that happened in that game that helps us, you know, take the next step, and I'm hoping we can keep going.
Yeah, the crispness there, and the one turnover, as you mentioned, that was a pretty fluky play with the defensive
end. It was
a
good play. The guy made a great play. You know,
yes.
He did tip it up. You got to give him credit. But
yeah, but something where it wasn't a case of the quarterback necessarily putting the ball in harm's way. It's a guy stepping up and making a play. A couple weeks ago, we were talking about kind of the way that teams may have changed the way they're defending your offense. What have you seen over these past couple weeks in your offense's ability to adjust to that, maybe acknowledge and adjust to how teams were defending?
Well, look at the rushing yardage, you know. Look at the running yardage. I mean, it really couldn't be more obvious. We averaged 7 yards a carry yesterday, and Rush's big play was a big deal, and so was Carlos's. But that's how you do it. You know, you don't just pound out 4 yard gains all the time. You got to have big plays to be a good rushing team, if that's what's available, we're going to take it. And that's what balance is all about, and that's what the whole, you know, approach that everybody's so bored by, that, you know, running the football. I mean, it's freaking awesome, you know, and it's an awesome way to win football games, it's just how this game works, you know. And so we're doing it, and if we can continue to have that available when we need it, we're playing a great defense this week. These guys are a phenomenal defense, and we're going to need everything to move the football and get our points. It's cool that it's happened here this time of the year.
I like pound the rock, especially if you got this many running backs out there. Rashad Penny comes back out there, Pete, and look, he had a little bit of a burst out there. It was great to see him out on the field.
Yeah. Well, you are kind of a hardball guy, Paul. You know, so I I can feel you on that. Yeah, the fact that Rashad has looked so good in practice the last couple of weeks, we're really excited about his input and what he can do, and we'll see. You know, as just now that he's over he's crossed the threshold, he's back, is really important to us, and that's all we needed to accomplish yesterday. And those three guys now, those guys can bring it. So we're really excited about that trio.
Coach, did you happen to see Jamal Adams' post-game interview?
No, I did hear about it. I have not seen it yet. I heard he was on fire.
So Jamal's excited. Carlos Dunlap is excited. I mean, this is just another year for you, right? You get to the playoffs is what the Hawks do. But how cool is it to kind of allow guys like Jamal to experience new things in his career?
Yeah, matter of fact, in the locker room afterward, I was trying to – I don't know if I did it or not, but I was trying to address the fact that, you know, a lot of our guys have been to the playoffs, and the new guys that come in – they don't know any. They think, hey, you just always go to the playoffs, you know. But the guys who've been around and haven't had the opportunity or have just had few opportunities, they appreciate it, man. Something that's exactly what I guess what you were hearing from Jamal and Carlos. You know, it's so meaningful, to finally get the shot at it if you haven't. And so I was trying to make the point that that's why you came here, and we're thrilled that you guys get to experience it. But now let's do something, because that's the real important part. So, yeah, that's good. I'm glad that Jamal was real animated about it.
Well, here he is, so everybody can hear what we're talking about.
Oh, good.
First time going to the playoffs. I know you have 2 games left.
Hell yeah! That's a hell of a feeling, man. I'm sorry. I'm not used to this, guys. Forgive me. I know you guys are used to, Seattle, always going to the playoffs. I'm not used to this. I'm used to sending my cars home by this time. And, I'm already packing up, learning where I'm going next. Where's the vacation? When am I seeing family? Sorry to cut you off, brother. I'm just excited, man. So God is good.
Good for him.
Yeah. With Carlos Dunlap and his addition, he's someone, they've had some success when he was there in Cincinnati. He seems like he's been a really big part of your ability to close out games. That's the second time he's had a critical sack late in the game.
Yeah, he's kind of clutch, he mentioned after the game to me that, he knew that the guy came back in and he had been hurt, and so he was going to see if he was really back, and so he just went right after him and just tried to power rush him, and bull rush him, and he just killed him, on that play. I thought that was a great veteran moment, where he had a plan, he had a thought, and he's playing the game, and he took it to the guy, and it turned into the sack of the day. So fantastic. He has been a real positive force. And, we really haven't had him. He barely played yesterday, and he actually made a number of errors in the game just because for lack of practice time. And so it's good. He can have a big day, have a big game, and we can get after his butt, kind of get him back on the practice field, so get him a little bit sharper.
I don't want to get you in trouble. I thought that call, though, when KJ Wright comes in to clean up the tackle was awful, where they called him for unnecessary roughness. And I imagine you tell these guys, hey, keep playing the way that you're playing. But at a certain point, it feels like when these guys keep playing the way that they're playing, the referees aren't giving them any leeway for, just being a tall linebacker. It's so difficult to get low and get a guy like that.
Yeah, well, I'll be interested to see how they evaluate it when they look at it again. But really, KJ couldn't do anything but what he did. Along with the fact that he did use his shoulder, he got his head out of the hit, so he did exactly what he needed to do, and that was the surface that was available. But the officials do not have to make consideration for that. He didn't have a choice, so he hit him head to head. They call it kind of like they see it. Now that in particular, they might have said that he threw his forearm and hit him in the head. I don't know that because they. But that's the natural football thing to do, and so there's really no choice. I'm anxious to see how they interpret that, because I would KJ do the same thing, do the exact same thing again. There's nothing you can do, and so that's just the consequence. And that was a huge play in that, and we were getting ready to win the game with a little less drama, if we'd have won it in that sequence. But so we'll figure it out. We'll let you guys know.
Coach, that field has a bad reputation, man. One is is the turf really that bad? And two, how's DK doing?
Well, I haven't seen DK this morning. That was ugly. That was an ugly situation. It just shows you if he pulled out of that thing and he's okay, that's incredible. The flexibility that he had to exhibit to get, to go that far down and all. We saw it happened to Bo earlier, Scarborough earlier in the year, where he got kind of in a similar situation. Anyway, I think he survived it, at least in terms of the game and all. And the field didn't seem like it was bad, in general. It felt like a good turf, matter of fact. Down in the end zone, it might be a little bit different. But by the way, you guys haven't asked, but DJ Dallas, who went out, in that real – when they put you on the cart and all that kind of stuff. He did not break his leg yesterday. He has a sprained ankle, so we're really happy about that. And please, he could be a lot better off than we had thought originally.
That's great news to hear. So just a sprain. Mikey Potty also left the game with a neck. How's he doing?
Yeah, he had a stinger. He's had those in the past. It hasn't popped up this season, so we'll let you know. We don't know right now how serious it is, but he has a history, so we just got to take care of him.
Pete, you've seen this team get ready and close seasons. We're kind of in the middle of that closing stretch, a huge game against the Rams. How are you feeling about how your team's playing right now?
Well, I'm pretty excited, guys. The fact that we have so many guys coming back to us healthy and you know, last year at this time, remember we were calling up, knocking on the door down there in Oakland, getting Marshawn to make his way up here, you know, and we got all three running backs ready to go, you know, going into the stretch. You know, we have numbers of guys that are just on the verge of stepping back on the field. So this is a real opportunity. If you guys go back and look at the Super Bowl year, that was the healthiest year we've had. And you know, so sometimes it's you know, are you fortunate enough to have all your guys available? That gives you the chance. We have a chance. We have a chance to have a really good finish this season. A huge week right now, we talk all year long about, you know, every week we're preparing to play in the championship game and getting ready so that when it does come, we've been there before, we know what it takes, and we can go out and throw out a great game plan. Well, here we go. This is it. You know, this is the one we've been waiting for, and it was last week also, and it is for real this week, and it'll be for real because we'll need the next one to finish out the season. But I'm excited for our players in that because they know they've been getting ready, and now we're going to put together a real great week and see if we can put together a great game.
Sean McVay's thought of as one of the best offensive minds in football, and Rams have had success against you. But as a coach with the defensive background, is there a part of you that gets a little extra geeked out trying to think up a game plan to go up against one of these really good offenses?
Yeah. Sean is a great coach. There's no doubt. He is somewhat innovated a style of play in just his few years running this thing down there. And I've just been really impressed with, you know, how he's put it together. Because I know the lineage of it. You know, because I go all the way back to watching, all the way back to the Niners that made the Detroit, I mean, that check that, the Denver Broncos offense that put Shanahan's whole style of play, and then the young guys that have come from him, Kyle, of course, one of them. You know, there's a whole lineage of that game that I know really well because we had Alex Gibbs, who was all connected to that. And it's fascinating to me to watch it unfold, and Sean's done a marvelous job, and he deserves a ton of credit for all that.
Hey, Coach, I don't even have a question. It's really just a statement. A lot of people get caught up on style points in the NFL. This isn't college. This ain't Alabama versus, you know, a small school. It's tough to win ball games. So just congratulations on really hanging in there and getting your guys going towards the end of the year.
I appreciate that, Mike. And we're really excited about it. We're having a blast. You know, I go back, if you guys remember, way back when I was so excited about this team, just the makeup and the mentality and the vibe that they wanted to operate in. I was just looked forward so much to, you know, seeing how it was going to unfold and see if we couldn't, you know, win with great attitude as well as the rest of it. So I'm proud to be at 10, you know, and proud to be in the playoffs. But, man, we got a lot of work to do. And what a blast. I get to go back. As soon as I leave you guys, we dive right back in. And here we go, trying to get a week, in order to make it a big game this weekend.
Well, we'll let you do that. We know that the season's going to continue into the playoffs. Congratulations, Pete, and best of luck this week against the Rams.
One thing before we go. I keep wondering about the 12s, you know. I know they're out there, you know. I know they're out there. They're in their places, you know. And just feel for that we can't share the thing in person like we do. I mean, I've been feeling that all year long. But even more than ever, I know this is when all that whole blue wave thing, everything gets crazy and Blue Fridays or whatever. I mean, all this stuff that happens. I hope people enjoy the heck out of it. Let's have as much fun with this as we possibly can. We all deserve all the fun we can figure out, and I'm glad we're in the middle of it. But we feel you. We feel you. We just can't see you. So keep it going. Keep cracking.
Well, I'll say this. What we can do is that before kickoff, right before the game starts, everybody step outside their house and give like a big, loud, as loud as you can, howl. Hopefully to let you guys in Lumen Field know that the 12s are there and they're ready to go and they're fired up to be able to watch. And I know we all feel it too, Pete.
And yeah, air horns and car horn honking is definitely allowed. Definitely allowed. Okay, and appreciate it. All right. See you guys.